Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We'll do beers, PWHL recap, and then either ad break or jump into Bruins, and then after that we can do some trade deadline stuff. Drew, you wanted to talk through a little?
Dust out a couple trade deadline questions.
All right. Oh, we're recording. That's nice.
This is good cold open material.
Welcome, everybody. What's brewing? This is another episode of the Brews and Bruins podcast. My name is Cam Hasbrook. It is a pleasure, as always, to be flanked, at least virtually, by my two good buddies, Drew Johnson and Chris Gearsy. I'm going to only refer to you now as Gearsy because that would be your hockey name.
It sure would be.
We're back.
We're back in the new year, 2024. Do you believe that? This is technically our fourth year in existence, which is concerning, right? Weren't we 2020?
I think we're 2019.
Is it our fifth year?
No, we were 2020 because we did. Oh, we started right before the pandemic.
I think it was like February 2020.
Yeah. So this will be like our third year anniversary coming around, but we're in our fourth
count. Yeah, it's all about the numbers, baby. We'll pump those up. A little resume boosting, you know, it never hurt anybody. An exciting week for hockey. A lot going on. Obviously, NHL in the meat of their season. The PWHL getting underway. Also, the World Juniors. Shouts to the U.S. boys, men, whatever they are, for defeating Finland today in comeback fashion, advancing to the gold medal round against Sweden. That will probably have happened by the time this comes out, so hopefully we have something to celebrate next episode. We'll see. We're going to start by jumping into some PWHL stuff, but first, of course, the Brewers come first, as is only right. So we'll start tossing around here. Chris, I know you said you prepared something a little special for us today. Post holiday,
me too much credit, but my wonderful partner Catherine provided me with these Belgian beer filled chocolates. And oh boy, I thought that this would be the perfect place to indulge in at least one of them. This one is a Cornet Oaked Strong Blonde Belgian. I think the idea is you just kind of like bite the top off and then drink the beer on the inside.
I like it. There you go. Like a little shot, but made out of chocolate.
Yeah, it's definitely beer. I think the idea here is that it's all like, there's like a sugary layer on the inside of the chocolate to keep it from leaking.
So it's like how that would work.
It's like really sweet. I don't know. The beer's not overpowering, but there's definitely alcohol in it.
I'm trying to think of whether that would be good with like a raspberry sour or like something that would kind of as like a fruit filling sort of thing. But how does it? Can you tell what kind of beer it is?
Not really. I like beer. I like chocolate. I think I prefer them separately. But I mean, if you've ever had that, like the chocolates filled with like cherry liqueur and like the like alcohol soaked cherries, This is basically the flavor you're getting here.
Yeah.
Not bad. Drinkability, like two, cause you really, there's not a whole lot you can drink about it.
I feel like you gotta eat it. Yeah. Eatability. That's a new one for us.
Tasteability, as far as the beer goes, probably like a 5. You can taste that it is alcohol, but you know, a little behind the scenes. I've definitely had a few of these so far. And I've had trouble distinguishing between the ones that aren't like, some of them are like, all right, there's like a cherry beer and there's like a raspberry beer, as you mentioned. I'll even dip into this one for you, Cam, because you did mention a raspberry beer. No. It's not a sour, but
that's why you're my guy. I like the motion of like the bite and the shot at the same time.
Yeah.
An athletic move.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a little more my style, because it is for sure. You do get the raspberry there. Yeah, I like that one a lot. That one's a lot better. Tasteability, like a 35 instead of a 5.
Very nice. Like I had over the holidays, I had like a some kind of holiday like eggnoggy shot thing that was like in like a dark chocolate little shot glass. You like took the shot and you ate it. I imagine it's kind of a similar vibe to that. Although probably beer goes better with like liquor than I think chocolate probably goes better with liquor than it does with beer, I would imagine. But
I think so. Yeah.
Kind of a more natural fit, but
yeah,
that's a new one for Brews and Bruins.
I think like sweets in general don't mix great with beer.
Yeah.
I just remember like having beer floats instead of root beer floats with like peanut butter or chocolate stout and thinking that would be a really delicious thing. And then kind of always disappointed by that, cause it just like, it just clashes so hard.
Yeah. I don't think
it makes the beer taste like 10 times as bitter as it usually does.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the thought that counts, you know,
but holiday vibe. These work. These do work. Recommend if you're into that kind of thing, but definitely the raspberry and the cherry ones are the best.
Nice. Oh. Drew, if you got anything over there?
Yeah, so sorry I was quiet there during Chris's review because I had to do some research on this one. I'm currently drinking a Hannaford brand ginger ale.
Good ginger.
Honestly, even better in some ways than Canada Dry. If you feel like Canada Dry is like too sugary, this still has the same sweetness. It's just less sugar in it. So go to Hannaford. Free advertisement for them. They do a lot of good work in Maine. And probably maybe some shitty work under the wraps. We don't know. So for Christmas, and I was going to save one for the pod, but then I wound up like crushing them over the Christmas.
You know how that happens.
Week. So, but it was a Backyard Oasis IPA, a gluten-free beer from Groundbreaker Brewing Company. And I had to just like go through Google of different brands of gluten-free beer until I realized like Groundbreaker, and then I was able to find the can online. But yeah, very good. The website says it has Mosaic, Citra, and Strata hops. So Strata.
Dude, whatever you're feeling at the moment.
Hell yeah.
I think they're both right.
Strata knock. Yeah, no, it was very, very good. And especially like the IPAs for gluten-free beers are very hard to do. You know, you see a lot more pilsners and stuff like that in light beers. So it was, and I'm not usually a big fan of those kind of citrusy kind of beers and IPAs, but it was really good. It was really good. I highly recommend it. Anyone in needs gluten-free stuff out there, give me a call. 555-389-72.
Beep, 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 beep. Because it's going to be somebody's phone number.
Is that no, 555.
I don't know. Nice. I have got one of my favorite Maine beers here. An oldie but a goodie. The Baxter Coastal Haze IPA. Just a really reliable, just super delicious IPA. Checking in at 5.9%, so nothing too crazy for a for an IPA. Sometimes those can get in the 7, 8, 9 ranges, but a respectable 5.9, enough to get the job done, but enough that you know it's not gonna take you out too quick. Properly New England style hazy IPA definitely does not pass the Drew test, although you can get some light through there. I like this beer a lot. It's just very versatile. It has some hoppiness to it, but I think maybe non-IPA fans would still be into it because it's a little sweeter as well. Just a really delicious beer. Drinkability is going to be pretty high.
I don't appreciate the false advertising here, though, Cam, because you're wearing a hat that says Kolsch on it. Drinking
Kolsch. Yeah, well, also shouts to Definitive Brewing Company and their awesome hats, including this Kolsch hat that I got a couple weeks ago.
I do love a hat that just says a style of beer on
it. No, that's what I would, because they had ones that said like Definitive Brewing Company that were cool, but I saw the Kolsch one and I was like, hell yeah, that's cool. And it's like, and they do have like their logo or whatever on like one of the sides. So there's like a little, but I like that they were like, no, we don't need to advertise up the front. Like it's just.
And to clarify, this is also one of the styles of hat that has the like the shoestring across the.
Yeah. And it's, you can't really tell, but it's the like corduroy style. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's sort of thing. So
that's when they made hats, like, you know, they used to make hats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's elite. They're very warm for the winter, too. It's a nice wintertime hat. I also have my Bissell Brothers one back there somewhere as I drink from this Bissell Brothers cup that was definitely legally acquired from someplace in Maine. Drinkability on the Baxter is going to be a 30. Honestly, really, really impressive for an IPA. Tastability, I'm going to go 32. Great beer all around. No complaints whatsoever. And shouts to Izzy, who has just joined us for the pod.
Yeah, she's not listening in, but she is here with us, and she can speak and make noises.
There you go.
You want to say hi?
Hi.
Our audience says hi back, just a little delayed. an exciting night last night for the PWHL. The debut going on for the Boston franchise as well as the Minnesota franchise at the Songhees Center in Lowell. Boston would lose that one 3-2 to Minnesota. I'm going to take a quick rip through what happened in case you did not get to catch it. It was a really awesome game. Minnesota's first overall pick, Taylor Heisey, opened the scoring with a quick release going top shelf on the blocker side. That was the first goal on American ice in PWHL history. Unfortunately, not for our team, but it was a snipe. Of course, the first for Minnesota's franchise as well, this being their first game. Side note, she was, as I mentioned, their first overall pick. I'm sure that was a really cool moment from her. She is a Minnesota native. She also played for the Gophers, so awesome. Even though it was against our team, to see her make an instant impact in this league, I'm sure that's going to be a player who's a lot of fun to watch, even as an opposing fan for a while. Minnesota went on to double the lead less than halfway into the first period, but Boston would get one back in the second. It was Teresa Schaffzahl who tucked one in. The first goal for Boston's franchise history. Schaffzahl is Austrian, but she went to college at the University of Vermont, so she does have some proper New England roots.
Go Catamounts.
You do love to see. Go Catamounts. Shouts to Burlington. Just a beautiful place. Elena Mueller apparently scored 30 seconds into the third after a sick pass from Hillary Knight. Actually, Minnesota answered right back less than a minute later after Boston's first goal to regain a two-goal lead. It was 3-1. Boston they had brought it back into 3-2 after that.
Worth clarifying, though, before we get into Boston's almost second goal, that all three of the Minnesota goals were absolute lasers over the blocker.
Yeah.
There must be some kind of book on Aaron Frankel, or I guess any goalie who's ever played hockey, that, hey, maybe just like laser one under the bar and you might score.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those things where you're like, oh, maybe the scouting report was like shoot blocker side. And then you watched all three shots and you were like, oh, and the scouting report was just shoot missiles. Cause apparently like, I don't think it mattered which side it was on. That first shot from Heisey especially was incredible. Cause it was that old play where it's like, and it's something you see Connor Bedard do a lot where you pull it off and just the release, like you can't even tell they're shooting until the puck's in the back of the net.
Right. And it was really through traffic too. So, you know, literally nothing Aaron Frankel could have done there.
Yeah, no spite to Aaron Frankel after that one. Boston thought they were going to have a really exciting third period. A apparent goal scored 30 seconds into the third period. Hillary Knight caused a turnover, dished a sick behind the back pass to Elena Mueller, who was wide open in the slot and fired one. What looked like it was a weird situation where Minnesota's goalie was like kind of falling into the net and it looked like it had gone in initially. They went up to review that one afterward, decided that the puck did not fully cross the line, so it was waved off. Megan Keller would score a power play goal for Boston with under 3 minutes left to make for an exciting finish, but ultimately Minnesota is able to hold on and hand Boston a loss in their first ever game.
Every single PWHL team lost in their home opener.
Yeah, fitting, right?
I guess each of the first three games, not necessarily. I think there's still some home openers to happen. Yes. So.
Yeah, including Minnesota's. So despite the loss, I was pretty happy with everything in general, but especially with Boston and how they played. I think it's always exciting when you're seeing a new team to kind of try to look for keys and sort of ideas about what their identity is going to be. Boston played a lot of that game on the front foot. They were emphasizing speed, a lot of offensive creativity. Looks like they're going to be a team that is A, pretty good, when any team with Hillary Knight is probably going to be, but B, a team that's going to try to really play on the front foot and bring pressure to their opponents, really emphasize that offensive style of play, kind of like we've seen from Jim Montgomery's Boston Bruins. So curious about your guys' thoughts on the game, the general atmosphere. I know our good buddy Pat was there. We'll have to bring on our other good buddy, Oliver, the PWHL diehard, soon to go through everything. But what were you guys' kind of initial thoughts on finally getting to see this product on the ice after, you know, months of talk about what, you know, might be?
Yeah, I caught, like, you know, chunks of the Boston game. I was working, so I kind of had it on my other laptop. It was checking in here and there. And oh, no, everything's frozen. Oh, no, it's good now. Technical difficulties averted. And then I also saw a little bit of the Toronto one to kick things off against New York, where New York shut them out, which is great for New York fans, I think, in that franchise too. Like, you think about it, like, in terms of, you know, you're putting on this product and you're trying to gain a fan base, right? Obviously you have some carrying over, but you know, the whole point is to grow this side of the sport. And I think that's great that New York got the 4-0 shutout rather than Toronto, because I feel like there's going to be a more solid fan base in Canada, even though it needs to grow everywhere. And then you had another 3-2 game the other night. That was Montreal in Ottawa, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And then I get sometimes confused because they all have like the same thing across the jersey and some of them have similar colors, so but I can't wait for these teams to have like names and logos and stuff. That's going to be
proper branding,
really,
yeah,
really fun. Yeah, but yeah, the product on the ice has been fast paced. There's been goals, which is good. You know, if you had a couple like lame 1-0 games or something like that, you know, it, especially early on, you got to get some offense to you know, get some excitement, I suppose. In the Boston game, they showed a lot of fight, you know, trying to claw back. And especially, it was crazy. I don't even know if they had had the – maybe it was the goalie was pulled, but the whole last minute and a half of that game, they were just buzzing around. I really felt like a tying goal was going to come. Yeah. Obviously didn't, but I think they got something, probably like at least 5, maybe 6 shots on goal in that last minute or so.
Yeah, there was a shot in the last second. I mean, it genuinely came down to the final milliseconds of that when they almost tucked one. So
yeah, I was a little deflated when Boston scored the goal to get within 1 in the second period and then immediately gave up that goal to go back down 2. And I really, you know, it's one of those things as a Bruins fan, you're used to both.
Yeah.
You're used to both things happening where, like, year over year, maybe they're the type of team that fights back or they're the team that kind of like lays down. And it's really good to see that, you know, this PWHL team is going to be the type of team that doesn't lay down when they're down a couple of goals. For me, really nice to see. I asked Oliver about this when we had him on, it was a leading question because I already kind of knew the answer, but seeing Lauren Gable get drafted so late in the draft, the previous year MVP of the PHF, I was kind of wondering if there was a perceived discrepancy in skill level among the, you know, the Dream Gap Tour and the PHF, or if that was more of like an agreement among the league where like, hey, we're just going to freeze them out for a while. And I see Lauren Gable on that top line with Alina Mueller and Mueller and Hillary Knight. So obviously, like, once it comes down to it, yeah, the talent's going to show out. And obviously I'm a little biased because, you know, watching her for a year with the Pride and just really enjoying her game. I was kind of locked in on her while she was on the ice, and I thought she looked great. I thought she fit in really well with that top line. There was a lot of surprise from the announcers, like, oh, that was Lauren Gable there. And like, all right, maybe give her a little more respect.
Come on, yeah.
But yeah, that's the number one thing I was looking out for. But yeah, I mean, the big thing for me, I tweeted this too, is every time I watch women's hockey, and I'm glad the tradition continues here, you wouldn't know that checking's illegal if you just watched it. It's really just the like obvious body checks that are called, because I don't think it works if you call every body contact.
I'll be honest, I had to look up the rules and make sure that they didn't like approve body checking for this league, because like there were hits throughout the game. I think you can't lay anybody out, but like there were people like finishing checks after, like right in front of the ref after the, you know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah, I think it was
that would
like,
get you like thrown out of for a year in the NBA kind of thing. I think perfectly it was fine.
I think it was like Sportsnet or something put together like a minute or so of just like clips of hits, and like I was like, dang, this is more than I was expecting with that rule set. So I'm glad that we're gonna still be able to see some of that physicality, which is great, especially in highlight reels. I love that. Love a good highlight reel of good hits.
How can you not? It was Cromwell. Just like very rewarding as a fan, I feel like, to watch that. And obviously over the last few months and really since the league was announced, there's been a lot of discussion about what it was going to look like, and obviously the merger and a lot of hot takes there, a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation for the league, a little bit of criticism as well. I think some of which we had talked about earlier in the season, with like the branding and things like that. But ultimately, like, what matters is the product that you're putting out on the ice. And, I know we're only a game in here, but I think it's pretty overwhelmingly obvious that this is a success, and this is a really impressive product that's out there. Very high level hockey, very fast paced, very physical, like Drew said. So just awesome to see. And, it's just exciting to finally get best on best. Like I was a big supporter of the NWHL, PHF. But it was, there was always that caveat there where some of the best players in the world just weren't there. And while it was still excellent hockey, it is very rewarding as a fan to finally be getting best on best on the women's side, which is just been awesome to see. Also, the broadcast I thought was great. I thought it looked really clean. I know YouTube probably isn't the most ideal long-term plan for everybody, but I did check as of today, it's up to 131,000 plus streams on that side. I think for
wasn't it on Nesson too?
On Nesson for
I watched it on Nesson.
Yeah.
I don't get Nesson.
So I watched it on YouTube.
Well, I will not pay the $30 a month for you.
Nesson. Guess who does get Nesson? My parents, and I leech off of their DirecTV. So
that's nice, but
don't tell DirecTV. We gotta bleep all that out.
That no is a nice change. I know that was something that the PHF had some trouble with, kind of bouncing around different. They were on Twitch for a little while. They were kind of all over the place, and
they had ESPN Plus as well last year.
Yeah, later on. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was going to be great with the NHL joining ESPN Plus, but turns out the NHL's ESPN Plus thing kind of spotty in terms of whether the game's going to be on there or not. So I don't think people really migrated over there for their entire like hockey needs.
Yeah.
But I like that all of these games are going to be accessible to most people. And
yeah. And I think especially with obviously the league being in its infancy, that's the most important thing, is just letting people get eyes on the product,
man.
And to see again, how excellent the product is. It really was an incredible game, and I'm so stoked to watch the rest of the season. I feel like we're going to get a nice bounce back from Boston next game. I think they're going to be a little pissed off that they dropped that first one at home. So
I mean, it's also a big schedule, lots of games.
Yeah.
So this isn't going to be. I did kind of like the regimented every weekend kind of deal for the PHF, but also that was kind of like a all right, we're doing this so you can do this as your side job and also like have a job during the week. And I think that was like a good compromise. But if this is like, hey, let's make this a full-time job. I know the pay is not necessarily public, and the league minimums are kind of iffy.
Not where they should be yet, but
so there's still a lot of things to improve upon. But I mean, the easiest way to spur that on is to put eyeballs on it. So obviously, we're going to be promoting the heck out of it.
Yeah, as we should be. So. I do not have the schedule pulled up, actually, speaking of which.
Right here, buddy. Monday, January 8th, Boston versus Ottawa. Saturday, January 13th, Boston versus Montreal. And then on the 17th, they play Toronto, and then the 20th, they play New York, and then that's them playing every team to start it off. I like how they do that. Mm-hmm. Do you know if that's like kind of the schedule the rest of the way, or do they have, you know, those, we're going to play these back-to-back games against them and stuff?
I'm not sure. Double check on that.
At the very least, it makes sense for each team to, you know, meet up one after the other.
And then February 1st, they're doing like the 3-on-3 thing as well. That'll be kind of cool to see. So one of the other notes that I thought was kind of cool is, I mean, give and take, I know Minnesota is playing at the XL Center, but playing on not necessarily only NHL rinks, getting some different ice sizes is kind of neat. I think especially playing on some rinks that are a little bit bigger is going to be cool. I don't know. I always like watching hockey on Olympic ice. I know the North American game has been kind of tightened up on the men's side to kind of fit the physical style that we play here. But as you're seeing, in same thing with the World Juniors right now, it's like when you play on an open ice, it opens a lot more space up for some more speed, some more creativity. So will be interesting to see kind of how specific teams try to use kind of an extra layer of home ice advantage there to, you know, build a play style that fits their rink. Sort of like you'd see with a soccer team, for example, playing on a certain size pitch. So
I think that should be in all sports. I think baseball got it right.
Yep.
Every field, like, sure, there are things that need to be the same, like the distances between certain lines and the goal needs to be the same size. But yeah, I think ice size should be totally determined by the home team. I think basketball courts should be bigger or smaller, depending. Doesn't matter.
Football there should fields, be like a minimum and a maximum. Like, we can't have whatever.
But football fields, there should be like 140-yard fields in some places. Like,
yeah,
a big wall down the middle.
I know it's going to be tough going into Lambeau because we're going to have to go 150 yards to our touchdown. But
yeah. That would be cool. That'd be really cool.
No, Boston builds a big wall, like in the middle of the ice rink. There's just a big green wall, like cornering off a section.
All right. Well, let's do some DraftKings.
Do you have it up, or should I? Because
there's a new read. So
it starts January 8th.
Oh, that's Monday.
Yeah, for now. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly this time around in bonus bets and betting just $5 on a hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bet expires 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved.
But good thing we have the express written consent of the National Hockey League to disseminate accounts and descriptions of
and shields.
the hockey games that we've watched.
Shouts to express written consent. That's
so
the other team in Boston, the Bruins, the Whoa. One in the title of our name, four straight wins heading into tonight's recording. They're going to drop the puck against the Penguins in just a few minutes here. How are we feeling overall? I know we're getting a little closer to the trade deadline, which we're going to talk in a little bit. But you know, what are we at vibes wise at this point in the season? I know, you know, obviously last season at this point, the Bruins were setting records and with the regular season play. At this point, still a very impressive 23-7-6, 52 points, 722 points percentage, which does lead the NHL going into this weekend. I think they also have the best goal different. Nope, just kidding. That's Vancouver by a lot, actually. Holy shit, Vancouver plus 46. Good Lord.
Yeah, they started off wicked hot.
Yeah, the Bruins are plus 26 going into tonight. One thing that's been impressive to me, which is kind of a norm for the Bruins, but home record 11-2-3 has been very solid, but the away record 12-5-3 also very good. Obviously, you need that to win a division and to win a conference in this league, but how are we feeling with about half the season left to go here, a little bit under?
Decent. I think that they kind of fumbled a bit longer than I thought they were gonna. Like early in their season, they had like a 3-game losing streak, and then through the holidays and stuff, it's been a little iffy. Obviously, now there's this resurgence, which is great. But the consistency, I think I just got so comfortable with the consistency of winning last season that I was like, they'll just get out of this funk like it's nothing. You know, they'll just like play a little harder, and, you know, it'll be good. But obviously, it's not that. And I mean, I don't know exactly. Like, I think they need to add something. I don't know what. Don't ask me what, man. I don't know. But Yeah, I'm just a little less confident than I was, I think, to start the season where what they started like 13-1-1 or something like that, something crazy. So, I think they need to make some sort of move. But for now, ride the high wave. Hopefully, this is going to be posted tomorrow. So, hopefully, the listener knows what happened. Hopefully it's a good outcome. Five in a row.
So Swayman's stayed pretty consistent. He's one of the best goalies in the league. Reigning Vezina Trophy winner Linus Ullmark went on a little bit of a slide, but last couple of games he's back up in the 950s total, I think. Good to see him. I think it's important that, you know, you got at least one of those two guys going at all times. And I think, you know, be better to have both of them going. But you know, we've been begging for years for this thing called depth scoring. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we've been getting some depth scoring.
It's absolutely.
Dan
it
Heinen,
makes you wonder where it's been for
Trent Frederick,
and Eric. All three.
They all had, yeah.
It's crazy.
All three recording a point. Morgan Geeky, he's been pretty solid. I mean, Pavel Zacha just getting back from injury, getting moved off center for Geeky. I don't know. We'll find out what it all looks like when Potter's back. He's not playing tonight, right? He's playing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he'll be playing in the next week. Yeah, the lines just came out, so it's. I mean, we don't have to go over it because this will have happened by the time people listen to it, but. Merkulov is sticking for now. We'll see what happens when Potter's back next game, but he's centering that fourth line and Beecher's on the left wing. So, I don't know. We'll see. I do agree, Drew. I think they got to make some moves. I don't know what the big move they need to make is, or if they do need to make a big move. Right now, they're kind of coasting on the like Eric Halla, who is Morgan Geeky right now, like put anybody between Zaka and Pasternak and see if it works. And I mean, it's working right now, so mm-hmm. I'm not mad about that. But if you want to add somebody, maybe a top six center, I don't know what it costs to get that though, because you're going to have to deal off your roster. So it's going to be one of those things mm-hmm. of like, are you willing to give up something on your current roster for something to improve a different spot?
Yes.
And if the answer is yes, then who is it? Is it Jake DeBrusk? Is it,
yep.
is it Matt Grizzlick? I know Drew wrote an article about this.
In that article, I never really said what they should do. I just think like out of everybody that I think they would realistically trade, I think DeBrusk might be the one that's most valuable just because I think there's a lot of other pieces on this team, especially with the tendency to, you know, trade away young players and picks. I think there's a lot of young guys that maybe, I don't know, you would consider, but right now they're like actually playing a big role, like Poitra, right? Like coming into the season, maybe we're thinking like, oh yeah, we have a prospect here, pretty high quality. If we need to deal for someone, and here he is in the NHL, it's kind of just this resurgence of young players. So I think if they're going to make a big move like that, I think DeBrusk is the player they move. If they're going to, you know, grab something in depth, it's going to be some sort of, you know, other package, hopefully not including the main roster at all. But yeah, if they're getting something for like the top six, it's going to take DeBrusk and a little bit more, I would assume.
They also need defensive depth.
Yep.
Lowry's kind of dragging down whatever
Lowrider
he's on, and no offense to that kid, I think he's probably going to be pretty good someday. If you move anybody off the current roster who is a young player, I'm kind of down to move him. Maybe I'll eat those words in a couple of years when he's a top pairing guy, but I think he's more of a middle pairing ceiling, currently not even a bottom pairing guy that you can rely on. Shouts to Kevin Shattenkirk, who's on a little bit of a heater. But man, yeah, I need to watch him, Lowry, that is, more carefully, just to see if he is improving on what I've seen. But you know, he has skills that, you know, you want in an NHL defenseman, and he has certainly size that you want in an NHL defenseman. But oh boy, is he slow, and he makes some really bad mistakes. And I don't, you know, you can be a slow defenseman in the NHL and still be good. I mean, Zdeno Chara did that for many, many years. But yeah, I don't know if other teams are looking at him and going, all right, well, yeah, we'll give you a top six center for him and like a pick or something. I'm like, yeah, guess. Yeah, let's do it. Maybe find some, you know, depth defenseman somewhere else for some deeper picks. But you know, that's stuff to worry about a little later because it's not the trade deadline yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of split there because I do see where you're coming from, but also like, you know, we are judging a kid off of what 20 something NHL games at this point, and probably was pulled up a little earlier than the Bruins had planned to with injuries and such. So it is kind of a balancing act of like, how much do you want to go for it this year? And are you willing to give up a guy who isn't necessarily an A-list prospect, but does have, you know, a ceiling that could be higher than what we're seeing now, versus how much do you want to try to conserve for the future with the young core you have? It kind of honestly the same question that you're going to ask with Matthew Pocher right now. I know the next deadline for him, I think it's 40 games that they have to decide whether or not to keep him around and burn a full year of his contract or send him back. The only option would be to send him back to juniors at this point. He's not eligible for the AHL. He's currently 10th on the team in points with 13, it looks like. Do you guys see a scenario where they think, you know, all right, we have enough depth at center, or we're going to try to add a piece here and send him back? Or do you think, you know, he earned his spot on the team at this point with, you know, making it out of those first, whatever the first deadline was, 7 or 10 games?
I think he earned it. I mean, we still have what, 13 more games to evaluate that. I mean, I kind of expected him to go to the juniors and world juniors and dominate. And, you know, I didn't watch the games, but I was told it was not as dominant a performance as we were expecting. Like this kid just played in the NHL for a couple months, should be able to skate circles around these boys. But no. If he comes back and he looks sluggish, looks like the long season starting to wear on him, maybe send him back to juniors, but I don't, that's not my number one option. I think if he's helping the team at all, you keep him.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think sometimes teams, especially in like baseball with the service time stuff, like, oh, they overthink it and they're letting guys kind of languish instead of develop. And at a certain point, what's Matt Poitras going to learn in juniors?
Yeah.
Right.
He's not going to.
Yeah. No, I think it's exactly right. Just like he's helping the team, keep him up. Also, I will just say on Lowry, that the low rider, I just don't think they really have the depth at defensive prospects to really give him up without, you know, something bigger. So I think they'll hold on to him for now just because of that reason. And, you know, maybe down the line, he's got a few years. He's got all 3 years, I think, on his entry level, right? He just signed it. So you got some time with that. I'd say take the season, even if he's not in the NHL. It doesn't seem like you said, Chris, he doesn't really seem absolutely ready. And part of that, like you said, Cam, he was rushed. But don't deal him this year, I don't think. DeBrusque.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's ideal to deal him, but like if you're really trying to go for a top six center, who else you got to deal? But like
DeBrusque and Lowry. Yeah,
no one's giving up a top six center for DeBrusque and a pick.
DeBrusque and Lowry.
Yeah, maybe both.
Although DeBrusque, top three in the league in goals against per 60. So,
you know, he's a guy. He's a tough one. He's a tough nut to crack, man.
As he has been the entire time.
Yeah.
It's been the same story with him for pretty much his entire career. Man. But I do think it's interesting, the kind of guy, like, the perception with Poitras, like, just looking at stats. Danton Heinen, player who I've been very happy with this season. I think a lot of Bruins fans would agree with that, the role he stepped into. But, like, one fewer point than Poitras has, actually. So, kind of makes you, I think, just the expectation and kind of the, you know, what you'd expect out of Poitras as a highly touted young prospect. I think the sort of expectations there are a little bit different. But I'm also noticing, which is kind of hilarious, that if you go on the Bruins stats thing on their website, it only shows David Pastrnak as the only right winger that they have. It shows everybody else who plays the right wing as a center, which is kind of hilarious. Any final thoughts here, trade deadline stuff we want to talk? Or
just wanted to say one thing. I think we're going to do maybe a more full episode to talk about the All-Stars next episode, maybe over the weekend, because they just announced the Eastern Conference ones, and then in like 30 minutes they're going to do the Western ones. But guess who the Bruins All-Star is. I'll give you one guess.
I'm going to imagine it's probably a guy named Kevin Shattenkirk. Yep.
John Beecher. No, it is David Pastrnak.
Yeah, of course.
Brad Marchand better get the fan vote, baby. Let's do it. Team Marshy. Let's get him there. What other Bruin? We'll save it. I was going to say, what other Bruin deserves it?
McAvoy. And it's out here. Yeah. David Pastrnak, 36 games, 50 points. What's his final point total to end the season, regular season?
105.
88. No.
I'm going to go 108.
88 assists. And 88 96 assists. Goals.
That'd be neat.
Hat tricks the rest of the way.
All right. Thanks for joining us, as always.
We did it. We did that hockey.
We did that hockey. We'll catch you maybe this weekend or early next week for the All-Star episode.